and welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I am Amanda Coulson. I'm the executive director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you are listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. I'm here with a whole slew of representatives from the lovely University of the Bahamas, UB, Walterior Tucker Roll, the Chair of Communication and Creative Arts, Keisha Oliver, Assistant Professor of Visual Arts, and Heino Schmidt, also Assistant Professor of Visual Arts. We've all known each other a long time. We've had already a very deep relationship with you guys, bringing your students very often, giving talks, giving lectures. What about Walterior? Well, you need to get a mic, Walterior. Say, what about other disciplines? I mean, we talked about that. You had a great idea, which was actually there's a journalism internship.
I'm glad you think it's a great idea.
I think it's an awesome idea because again, writing about art is a whole field.
Absolutely.
You can make your living writing about art, getting paid to do that. You know, so we even write for the newspaper every Saturday, and we need to write catalogs. And
I just want to mention before Walterior speaks about it, because I am familiar with the current writer, the contributor to the arts and culture section, Kevante Cash. She's actually a student that took Art 107 with me, but she was actually a journalist. As a major, and so you could see already how the organic relationships and the connectivity is happening there. But sorry for the interruption.
No, that's great. I think when to jump in, the more the merrier.
I mean, we know that we have a bachelor's of media journalism, and our students are populating every single media house on the island, and so they're doing well. And not all of them want to,
report on news, want to report on the courts, or want to report on. So again, culture is a whole,
And they have an internship as a part of their academic process. And so what we're thinking of now that we have the MOU, and now that we have the precedent of students who have done significant work at NAGB and other places, why not create an experience for them or an opportunity for them to get university credit, right, for all of that work that they're there. Because eventually that's going to, I mean, it's how our journalism students make it through their process. And we think that it would be a great opportunity to have that same opportunity for our art students. And
our history students. Music students,
Our history students, any of our students from social sciences, obviously we know what the arts in general do for the human being, and we need people to write about it. We need people to theorize it, and we have students who could do that at UB.
And I think what's also two things that are interesting. I mean, you touched on it, Heino, which is what happens when you get out of the classroom. So, A, there are studies that show that going to look at art makes you better at everything else, too. So if you want to be a better mathematician, go look at some art, or listen to some music, or do like engaging the creative side of
Learn
your brain, right?
Learn
it, whatever it is, exactly. And so I think that thing of like changing the environment, being allowed to engage in a way.
There's a thing that I always remember. This is not my story. This is Sue Bennett Williams, who used to be. I don't know if you know her, Walterior.
Met her, but I've heard of her.
She's awesome.
Wonderful teacher. I think both Keisha and I studied under at a certain point. Retired a few years ago, and this is an old story, but I'll tell it anyway. So she also has an after school. Sue, if you're listening, and I'm botching this up, I apologize. She also has a after school.
ASMAC. It's called ASMAC.
Yes.
Yeah. After school art program.
A few years ago, I saw her, and she was in the greatest mood. And she was just like, I just got an email from an old student from when I first started the class, who's now a surgeon living in the States. And I don't know what kind of surgeon, but there was some issue with the hospital, and they made them all do art classes because there was an issue with them not being able to creatively problem solve on the spot as surgeons.
Yep.
And apparently, all the surgeons were like losing their minds. There were people quitting, and she sent Sue an email, and she's like, "That was the easiest thing I've ever done." And I think she got a promotion at the end of it. She's like, she breezed through the problem solving, and Sue was just like, you know, like she's never done. She was a kid when she did the art class, and it's something I always kind of think in my mind. I was
it's not necessarily about
having a studio practice is just like navigating in the world.
It's the way that we used
to do it. It's learning how to be creative thinking.
So I think that is like an undercurrent that people forget. So there needs to be. So you have these words that get thrown around like cross-pollination, interdisciplinary, and nobody really reflects on them properly anymore. But it really is about navigating the world in a creative space that allows you to be flexible in your thinking and
adapt,
quick in your
intuitive,
and in your application. And I think it's a real thing. Like, I do not expect most of my students to be professional artists. I just want them to maneuver in the world that is responsible and creative.
Yeah, and I think, and again, exposing young people to that when their brains are forming is so important.
Right, and having access, again, like to institutions like the National Art Gallery or thing, you know, or having Camille down from Edelman. Yeah. Like, all of those things, well, like, add to that thing. You don't have to be an artist in that.
Exactly, and they've shown that people also retain things in a different way if they have if they have a museum experience or an off-campus experience. Like, if you're teaching them about science and you go somewhere and see, like you said, real world in action, you're going to remember that thing better than sitting in the classroom.
Because it's relevant to your daily experience.
Yeah. And that's a nice segue into the summer intensive, just go from ASMAC, which is an amazing, which Sue Bennett Williams still teaches. And it's a fantastic after-school art program. And but you've got you're running the summer art intensive now. And again, I think people very often think, oh, like, why should we have this with a summer camp at NAGB? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I don't want my kid to be an artist. Why should they go to art camp? Well, there's other reasons to go to art camp. Mm-hmm. So, but tell us what you're doing with the summer intensive, because it's pretty exciting.
Yeah, so the summer arts immersion, we launched it last year, last May, and we had the first iteration July last year. Really well-received program, which is multifaceted in that, one, it's not just a summer experience, but it's a scholarship-based opportunity for students who are really showing a keen interest in the discipline to be fully immersed in the program, in the processes, and to really interact with professional artists, be them master artists or emerging artists themselves, but creatives. And so last year, we had 30 students, four from the Family Islands, which is really inspiring for us because, you know, engaging the Family Island students really presents challenges, travel accommodation and so forth. But this year we again had a really good response with applications, so much that applications were up 63%. We had over 60 applicants. It was really tough to choose this year, but all in all, we have 8 returning students from the summer arts immersion last year and 8 from the Family Island. So it's really encouraging to see how the numbers are growing and how we're getting support, not only from the students, their parents, and the wider community, but sponsors and patrons. And so we're excited. This year, we've introduced a literary art component. So we have Yasmin Glinton, who is a secondary teacher at Tivi Bethel, very much immersed in performing and visual arts in the Bahamas.
And an amazing poet.
She's amazing, yes. She did a residency at Bahamas.
Were you in a play with her?
Yes.
Last year, right?
Shout out Yasmin.
Yeah, Chicks, Vampires.
The Lies We Tell Our Amygdala in Short Tales. Yes.
Okay, amazing. And so it's just amazing to have her. And we also branched out into really including some regional artists. So we have an MOU, speaking of MOUs, that we recently established with the Edna Manley College of Visual and Performing Arts in Jamaica. And we have a Camille Chetto, who's their drawing and painting professor. Mm-hmm. She's with us in the program in the summer arts immersion, teaching drawing and painting for the first 2 weeks. So really giving the students that exposure to not only have Bahamian artists, but have regional artists, and have a good cross-section of both fine art, new media art, and literary arts. Mm-hmm. So there again, you don't just have that focus into drawing and painting and printmaking, but you're learning how to write about your art, how to write about yourself, to create a bio for yourself. And so it's really
Important because artists too, I mean, we're not even just speaking about other people writing about art, but artists knowing how to, again,
articulate
their ideas and themselves. Exactly. Yeah. Tell their own story rather than have someone else tell it.
So we're really excited. I mean, we have 40 students in the program this year. We started on Monday, and there are just buzzing with creativity, and the energy is high. And so we're excited not only because the program is receiving a lot of good response, but it also acts as a feeder system. And Tucker Roll could really, really speak to that, because what happens is that the students, they like what they're seeing. They love the experience of being on campus, learning from, you know, professionals and creating friendships and long-lasting relationships, and they themselves either join our art program, and we've had some that have joined other
and
programs.
And there's a scholarship at the end too for one student,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so we had a scholarship recipient. Her name is Rachel Pyfrom, and she is a good example of an advancement or progress system that we're trying to establish within the program, because she came in as a student and she's now with us this year as a teaching assistant. Mm-hmm. And so it really kind of rewards the students to show them that, like we said earlier, you can make a career out of this thing. If you stick with it and you're really interested in it, it may not be a full-time career. It may be something that you do.
It's another one. Jarrett Stubbs, he came out of the education department.
And he's teaching now with your summer camp.
And he's teaching it up. But he started as a counselor at our summer camp. Mm-hmm. And now he wants to go into arts education. So but I think,
and that's his major.
Had that contact not happen, cross-pollination. So again, he's found his niche, which is amazing.
So we're really excited about the program. And we're just excited to see how it grows into 2020 and how we can really expand into really reaching other communities, particularly the Family Islands, because I think it's really important. And I think the NAGB can speak to that, how you really need to offer opportunities that you can go into those communities and really touch those creatives.
You know what? Later today, I'm going to be having a meeting with someone about doing something in Eleuthera, because again, it's all about creating partnerships, which is, again, going back to all these different MOUs. What it allows for is for you to not have to overuse your own resources.
That's right.
Right?
No one institution has to do everything.
You know, if there's someone who's already got a structure and already wants to do something about arts, but they don't know how to do it, we can like
work together,
give the expertise, but not have to again send, because for us to do those, you mentioned the inter-island traveling exhibition, which we do twice a year. You mentioned the one we did in Grand Bahama. Before that, it was I can't remember. We've been to Abaco, we've been to Exuma, we've been to Eleuthera. We're going to Long Island this October. And it's phenomenally expensive,
because
not only are we taking all the art from the National Art Gallery because we want Family Islanders to see the National Collection, but we send the staff for 2 weeks
because
there aren't people on the ground who can unpack, who can hang, who can, you know, and if we can develop those partnerships where there is someone on the other end who can receive the crate, who knows how to handle it, who you send them the teacher packet, already it's going to save us the resources that we can then maybe do 3 Family Islands a year, 4. You know, so again, it's all about this interconnectivity.
Or you can grow it to the extent and create opportunities so that there are people on the ground
That are paid.
Who can eventually do that.
Exactly. That's the point.
I want to quote a great philosopher who usually wears a black t-shirt, Doc Martens, and jeans and teaches at the University of the Bahamas.
Would that be Mr. Schmidt sitting to my right?
Heino Schmid once said, speaking of his work as a teacher, I work at UB so that I could have colleagues. And so he thinks about the way that he's teaching and what he's teaching as a way to prepare the next generation, dare I say, of creatives. And I think that all of our professors think like that, you know, and I'm glad to know that we do have a community that's envisioning a proliferation, right, of not only creatives, but of opportunities for them so that when they are developed and when they do hatch, I guess, if we're going to go into that metaphor, I mean, there is some space for them. And we want people to know that it is real, that it is profitable in a practical, everyday, walking around utilitarian sort of way, and it is good for the nation. How many UNESCO statements have been made about the value of art and arts education and art appreciation in general? What do we know from neuroscience about how what we do in the creative fields changes the brains of people? And so it doesn't surprise me that we have an uptick in students who came out of the summer immersion, for instance, who are now coming into UB as people who finally figured out, hey, I could study this full time. I don't have to just do this as a side thing. And for all the parents who are listening and for, you know, the aunties and anybody who has influence, there's more to do than being a doctor and a lawyer. Society needs all types of people. And so, you know, one of the things that we find is that even through our general education sort of requirements at the university, it's the student who comes in and they are seeing themselves as pre-med. So they come into a biology program because they've always thought that they want to be a doctor, but they realize that they love
art and they want to be a conservator.
Exactly.
And there's a need for conservators badly in this country because there's a lot of art falling apart on people's walls.
But I think the summer arts immersion, and we had a welcome evening last week, and Rachel Pye from, because she's now, you know, she has a twofold experience last year being a student and this year a teaching assistant and an actual student at UB now in the program approaching a second year. She said something that was really powerful too, and something that we often take for granted, that, you know, having the experience of the immersion, being on campus those weeks, learning the space, she said to the students, you know, oftentimes our parents speak to us and they want us to go off and study abroad. But I found it very important to study here at UB because I began to appreciate my country more, mm-hmm. and I began to appreciate the local art community more. And she has mentors outside of the UB faculty mm-hmm. that she's able to go to and contact. And so there's this kind of connectivity, but two, understanding that we have a value here in our country, that it's not always about what's out there and what's abroad.
Definitely.
And two, it's
and
affordable.
That's what we're all trying mm-hmm. to build, right?
And
because
it's
again,
affordable. Yep.
And it's affordable.
That's
mm-hmm. and it's quality.
Yeah,
exactly.
It is. No, it's true. Because if we consistently think that we have to go away to get anything, mm-hmm. We're just going to drain ourselves, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we do, and I think that's what we're all here doing, right? Is mm-hmm. staying committed to this community and how do we make it that people don't have to leave,
and
right. that we do, and already
that
are
sustainable.
And there are things here mm-hmm. that are already world class, and I would like to say that NHUB is one of them. It's in our mission statement, so we said it. It's out there.
It is so good. And just before we move on from the summer arts immersion, I just want to just applaud here in my capacity as chair. So the role of Mr. Antonius Roberts, who mm-hmm. is our university curator and artist in residence, who's come in and really sort of championed a lot of these partnerships and helped us to facilitate some things that wouldn't have been able to achieve without him. And mm-hmm. so, you know, we appreciate his role in both making sure that summer arts immersion happened at UB and is happening and will continue.
Mm-hmm.
And as well as, you know, we invite anyone who is like-minded, there are opportunities for you to partner with what we do. What we lack in facilities and what we lack in other respects, I mm-hmm. mean, we are now, I mean, we realize as an institution that we can't possibly service every single thing,
mm-hmm.
but if we are connected to people who can.
And institutions,
Institutions who can, we can make sure that our students get the best experience mm-hmm. as possible and create this sustainable national base of art, artists who are prolific and who love this nation. And yeah. I say that as an American. Amanda, I'm an American. And
that's
I love
all right.
This
I forgive
country.
You. Don't worry.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here. And I'm happy to be part of this. And it is important. So, you know, for people who are thinking about it, look us up. You can definitely give us a call at Communication and Creative Arts. We'd be happy to give you any information about our program. Our programs in the creative fields, as well as to guide you mm-hmm. to other experiences within UB. Our phone number is 302-4484 or 302-4485. We're willing to help and, you know, connect you even with these professors who are speaking today. And so,
of course. Is there actually an end of summer intensive show that people can go visit?
Yes.
Or?
Yes, so we do have, so last year we had an open studios where the students themselves were really able to allow their parents and friends and the wider community to engage with the processes that they actually learned. So they mm-hmm. were teaching other people, so that mm-hmm. was interesting. But this year we have, thankfully to our donor who wishes to remain anonymous, to have an exhibition on the 30th of July
okay.
Where the students will be off campus. So last year we had it on campus, and so this year it'll be off campus, and we will be promoting closer to the time. The students will be exhibiting works in the three disciplines, fine art, new media, and literary arts,
mm-hmm.
and it will not only be an exhibition, but thankfully to Yasmin Clinton, who is a performing artist advocate, she will actually have a spoken word element, which is something new and something that is actually a huge trend
well,
now,
that's
I think,
really
in the community.
Growing here. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But to really allow the students who are not so confident often in really speaking about their work in that way, to really push them and
great.
Empower them. So,
so we're
going to
know the location at a later date.
Yeah, so next week we will have all
okay,
of the
so
details.
Okay, so all of you Blank Canvas listeners, you have to tune in again next week and possibly the week after to find out where to go. But that's on July 30th. And
yes.
again, I would encourage people to go. It's always really satisfying. First of all, it's really impressive. You go out and you see young people making work that is just, it's just a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, you know, if you get to know someone young and you can follow them and their career, it's so satisfying to watch somebody develop. And these student shows are really great places to go, meet other creatives, just get involved. I mean, just have a nice time out. They're always nice, good people, normally a little something to munch on. Mm-hmm. And I encourage people to just get involved in the creative community. Even if you yourself are not, you don't consider yourself a creative, it's just a great world to be in with sort of a positive spirit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
agreed.
Yeah, I would go do that. So I just want to thank everyone for being here tonight. Walterior Tucker Roll Okay, I've lost my post-it now, so I've got to read your title. Chair of Communication and Creative Arts at UB. I found it. Keisha Oliver and Heino Schmidt, who are both assistant professors in the Visual Arts Department at UB. I just want to thank you all for being here tonight, so thanks so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
And of course, thanks for all your passion and your work to, like, build our nation. That's what we're all here doing. So thank you, audience, for listening. We are nothing if we don't have our listeners, so thanks for tuning in to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. Thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to 96.9. Have a good evening and good night.